Good morning.
We are so glad you're here to worship with us this morning. If you came at 10:30, you've either remembered to change your clocks back or your smartphones did it for you. And did anyone come at 9:30 this morning? We did, but it was for Sunday school. It wasn't by accident. Lots of announcements this Sunday. You are invited to sing along with the Heidelberg Reinhold Singers. This German singing group will have practices on Tuesday and a performance on December 16th. The bulletin has practice times and more details. There is a correction to the bulletin that I wanted to make note of. We never learned this in school. The Indigenous History of Niagara is Friday, November 24th. Not Sunday, November 24th, as was printed. The event will be here at St. Catharines United Mennonite Church. David Neufeldt will share the history of the Niagara region, beginning with the arrival of Indigenous people from 20,000 years ago. It's a free event, but donations will be received to help with costs, and dry goods are also accepted for the Niagara Regional Native Center Food Bank. There are a lot of important messages from the office. I wanted to draw your attention to one in particular about Eternity Sunday, which is November 26th. If you would like to acknowledge a deceased loved one, you have to get the information and pictures into the office before November 15th. So that date is important. Our call to worship comes from Psalm 107, verse 1 to 7 and 33 to 37. Give thanks to the Lord, for he is good. His love endures forever. Let the redeemed of the Lord tell their story, those he redeemed from the land of the foe, those he gathered from the lands, from east and west, from north and south. Some wandered in desert wastelands, finding no way to a city where they could settle. They were hungry and thirsty, and their lives ebbed away. Then they cried out to the Lord in their trouble, and he delivered them from their distress. He led them by a straight way to a city where they could settle. Verse 33, he turned rivers into a desert, flowing springs into thirsty ground, and fruitful land into salt waste because of the wickedness of those who live there. He turned the desert into pools of water, and the parched ground into flowing springs. Then he brought the hungry to live, and he founded a city where they could settle. They sowed fields and planted vineyards and yielded a fruitful harvest. Can you please bow your heads in prayer with me? Lord, we are grateful to be gathered today to worship you. We ask that you would open our ears so that we may hear your voice. Open our minds that we may receive your wisdom. Open our spirits so we may know your leading and guidance. And open our hearts so that we may receive your love. In your name we pray. Amen.
Are there any children here this morning that can come and help us with some music at the front? And Alvin's going to help direct you a little bit today so that you get your rhythm right on. Come on up. Ready?
Okay. Please stand with us if you are able as we worship our God.
Thank you.
if you wish, as we continue to worship the faithful one.
The next one is slower.
Oh, here we go. It's very convenient that all my friends are already up here. If there's any other kids lingering that want to join us up front, otherwise I think we're going to put the instruments away just for the meantime, if you guys don't mind. Thank you so much. All right, so I'm very excited to share with you something. Do you guys remember my Lego set that I've been bringing in? It was a speedboat. Okay, so first time I brought it in, it was really messed up, right? And I was really discouraged. There wasn't anything I could do to put it together. But then we noticed together that I had the instructions, right? And you guys told me that if I followed the instructions, I could put it together. But then the next time I came in, I realized that the pieces were wrong. I didn't have the right pieces that I needed, and some of the pieces weren't even part of the set, and it was just a mess. So we talked about how it was like Nehemiah, right? When he had so many things going wrong with his ruined city. Well, today, I'm going to bring you my boat, and it's almost finished. What do we think? Does it look like a boat?
Yeah.
Kind of, right? I think it's pretty good. Now, it's not exactly like the picture. It's not really quite the right shape yet, and it doesn't have a back yet. And it's missing my captain, but it's better than just a pile of Lego bricks the first time, right? Now, I'm so close to finishing. Do you think I can finish it? Do you think I can get there? Yeah, I think so, right? Even if I get discouraged, I can just keep working at it, and I can get it done. So in today's Bible story, Nehemiah gets the walls built for his city and just has some finishing touches when he hears some really discouraging news. His enemies are so unhappy about what he's doing, they're threatening to hurt him. Now, if I were Nehemiah, I think I might have just given up. But do you think Nehemiah is going to give up? Nope. No, I don't think so. He has faith that he's doing the right thing. God's on his side. And now sometimes in life we can get discouraged too. Maybe we feel this way when we make mistakes or things go wrong. You know, it's time to go to bed, but we sneak in a couple extra minutes of a TV show or a video game. Or maybe you get in trouble at school for speaking out or forgetting the routines. We may feel like there's just no point in even trying anymore. But we can always remember that God is with us, and we know that he'll stay right beside us and encourage us to keep doing the right thing and working for good. All right, can we pray together? Dear God, thank you for always being with us. Help us to not get discouraged and keep doing good things. Amen. All right, thank you guys.
Who am I?
I
Alvin, I don't know how you played the drums so well without going near them. It's a fancier system than I knew we had. Well, now will be our time for sharing our joys and concerns. So if you have something you'd like to share, a prayer request that you're comfortable sharing with everyone, please raise your hand and we'll have an usher find you with a microphone. And as the microphone goes over there, I'll announce while Elaine's waiting. I'll just let you know that Bill and Nettie Braun would like to thank the entire congregation for our prayers for their son-in-law's father. That was just a few weeks ago. He did pass away a couple days after it was announced at church, but they are very grateful for the praying community here.
I would just like to thank everyone that came out, gave their support for the Borscht Lunch that we had last week. At first, we were thinking we might only sell about 60 tickets or feed 60 people. Well, it was overwhelming. I think everyone loves to eat borscht. And we sold more tickets than we had tickets and had a lot of people come out. So extra ladies joined in and made extra borscht. We had lots of zwieback, made extra desserts. And we even sold some zwieback and borscht at the end. So all turned out well. We were able to donate $1,130 to Community Crew, which is a local organization that's centered on Linwell Road at the Optimist Club. And they feed over 1,000 children lunches during the week. They especially go to Edith Cavell, Lincoln Centennial, Prince of Wales, 30 schools altogether. Many Catholic schools are in there. So they provide nutritious lunches for these children. So thank you for the support so you could all we could eat well and the children get to eat well as well. Instead of doing another Borscht Lunch in November, we're going to do something that's not a fundraiser. We're planning on having a Christmas bus tour to Betty's Restaurant in Chippewa and then also to see the spectacular lights that they put on Niagara Falls. So that will be on Wednesday, November the 29th, and this isn't a fundraiser. The cost is going to be $60 because it costs to eat and it costs to rent the bus. So we need to have at least 50 people in order to go with this. So we'll have a pickup here at church at 4:30 on the Wednesday, and I haven't arranged it yet, but I hope to arrange a pickup at Linden House because I think a lot of people from Linden House might be wanting to come as well. So there'll be more details in the bulletin next week, and we'll also be selling tickets before and after the service next week. But we do need to get 50 tickets in order for this to be possible. So hope many of you can come.
All right, thank you. And thank you for feeding me so well last week.
Our friend Linda, who often comes to church with us, has a brother, Gary, who's been in the hospital probably 12 or 13 weeks already. I've lost track. But I'm sure she would appreciate prayers for her brother, Gary, who is 68 and has a lot of health issues.
About a week or two ago, I said my uncle Franz Stück is in Fort Erie Hospital. His health is deteriorating. He is not responding anymore. And we wish that we could all pray for him, that he may have a blessed end. Thank you.
Thank you for the update. Well, let's pray together. At the end of our prayer, from my part here, I'll invite you to pray the prayer Jesus taught us to pray. We will have the Lord's Prayer on the screen, and you are welcome to pray that prayer in whatever version you have memorized or whatever language you prefer. Let's pray together. Father, we thank you that you are good. Holy Spirit, thank you that you continue to be near us. Not just today as we worship in this building, but as we go out through the week and be your church. Lord, continue to guide our feet. Open our hands and our hearts to be generous. Open our eyes to start to see the world as you see it. to start to see each person as someone made in your image to be loved. We think of all of the difficulties being experienced in our world today. Lord, have mercy. The violence, the warfare, the bombing, the death, the health issues, the addiction, the loneliness. Lord, continue to be near people. Continue to work through your people, the church, as we go out all through the world. We pray, Lord, that we here and we throughout the world would be able to be the answers to prayer for many of our neighbors. And that through our loving lives, we would be able to see your kingdom come in these little and big ways. Father, we continue to pray for all of those in our community in need. And we especially think of Linda's brother, Gary. Lord, be with him in the hospital. Lord, continue to be with your son, Franz Dick. Lord, we pray that you would be close to him and his family during this time and lead him to you and your peace. And we pray that for every bit that we were able to donate to Community Crew, Lord, that you would bless and multiply so that more people might be fed, more children might be loved in this little way. As we bring our tithes and offerings to you, we recognize that everything we have is yours. Lord, continue to use what we're able to give to advance your kingdom. And friends, I invite you to pray the prayer that Jesus taught us to pray. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever and ever. Amen.
Good morning. Today's scripture reading is Nehemiah chapter 6, which is titled in my Bible, Further Opposition to the Rebuilding. When word came to Sanballat, Tobiah, Geshem the Arab, and the rest of our enemies that I had rebuilt the wall, and not a gap was left in it, though up to that time I had not set the doors in the gates, Sanballat and Geshem sent me this message: Come, let us meet together in one of the villages on the plain of Ono. But they were scheming to harm me, so I sent messengers to them with this reply: I am carrying on a great project and cannot go down. Why should the work stop while I leave it and go down to you? Four times they sent me the same message, and each time I gave them the same answer. Then the fifth time, Sanballat sent his aide to me with the same message, and in his hand was an unsealed letter in which was written, It is reported among the nations, and Geshem says it is true, that you and the Jews are plotting to revolt, and therefore you are building the wall. Moreover, according to these reports, you are about to become their king, and have even proclaimed prophets to make this proclamation about you in Jerusalem. There is a king in Judah. Now this report will get back to the king, so come, let us meet together. I sent him this reply: Nothing like what you are saying is happening. You are just making it up out of your head. They were all trying to frighten us, thinking their hands will get too weak for the work and it will not be completed. But I prayed, Now strengthen my hands. One day I went to the house of Shemaiah, son of Deliah, the son of Mehetabel, who was shut in at his home. He said, Let us meet in the house of God, inside the temple, and let us close the temple doors because men are coming to kill you. By night they are coming to kill you. But I said, Should a man like me run away, or should someone like me go into the temple to save his life? I will not go. I realized that God had not sent him, but that he had prophesied against me because Tobiah and Sanballat had hired him. He had been hired to intimidate me so that I would commit a sin by doing this, and then they would give me a bad name to discredit me. Remember Tobiah and Sanballat, my God, because of what they have done. Remember also the prophet Noadiah and how she and the rest of the prophets have been trying to intimidate me. So the wall was completed on the 25th of Elul in 52 days. When all our enemies heard about this, all the surrounding nations were afraid, and they lost their self-confidence because they realized that this work had been done with the help of our God. Also in those days, the nobles of Judah were sending many letters to Tobiah, and replies from Tobiah kept coming to them. For many in Judah were under oath to him, since he was son-in-law to Shechaniah, son of Arah, and his son Jehohanan had married the daughter of Meshullam, son of Berechiah. Moreover, they kept reporting me his good deeds, then telling him what I said, and Tobiah sent letters to intimidate me.
Uh-oh. I might not have batteries in this, but that's okay. I could just use the pulpit mic. Thank you, Aaron, for doing the long reading for me. Now I can skip over all those parts in a nice long chapter of Nehemiah, where we talk about this great work finally being finished. Nehemiah faithfully working with the community to finish the wall and all the troubles that come along with that in the process and even afterwards. Which leads us to some pretty easy questions, but questions that are maybe harder to answer when we reflect on what that means in our lives. What is faithfulness? And what might it look for me to be faithful? Well, as always, some quick Bible background, especially for those who haven't been with us. God's chosen people, Israel, all the way back to the line of Abraham in Genesis, who've now been delivered out of slavery, out of Egypt, to be a light to the nations, this new kind of community, this new kind of nation. But instead of being faithful to God, they continue to be unfaithful, not doing the things God has commanded them to do, worshiping other gods, things like that. And so they are sent into exile. The Babylonian Empire comes and carries off many of the people. But those people living in Babylon continue to have a hope. This hope that someday they'll be able to return home, where they'll be able to really be that light to the nations that God has called them to be. Later, the Babylonian Empire is overtaken by the Persian Empire. And that's where some things start to change for the people of God. And that's where we see the book Ezra, Nehemiah. A reminder again, this is the same book. It's all one story together. These rhythms of seeing God working to bring his people together, but also the struggle and failure all throughout. So back in the year 445 BCE, we see this person come on the scene named Nehemiah. Nehemiah had done very well for himself. He had risen in the ranks, and he was almost second in charge to the king of Persia. And he will look to the king and ask him to help in this project. He's being faithful in praying, planning, acting so that he can rebuild the city of his forefathers. He goes and gathers the people together. They work together. They work through some problems together so they can be just, a just community, a community embodying God's justice. And that brings us to this chapter today, Nehemiah chapter 6. We see problem hit again. When word came to Sanballat, Tobiah, and Geshem the Arab, and the rest of our enemies, that I had rebuilt the wall, Sanballat and Geshem sent me this message. Come, let's meet together. But they were scheming to harm me. So I sent messengers to them with this reply. I'm carrying on with a great project and cannot go down. Why should the work stop while I leave it and go down to you? The first thing getting in the way of a faithful finish for Nehemiah are all these distractions. And this is a good way of getting Nehemiah distracted. These are his enemies saying, hey, let's meet together and talk peace. We see you're going to finish this thing. Maybe we can go and work some stuff out together. But Nehemiah is not distracted by their empty promises. He sees them for what they are. Nehemiah, a man of prayer, is discerning that these enemies are just trying to distract him from the work and are even plotting to harm him. And they start to get desperate. They send this letter four times, and each time Nehemiah sends the same answer. He says, then the fifth time, Sanballat sent his aide, his personal aide to me, with the same message, and in his hand was an unsealed letter in which was written, it is reported among the nations, and Geshem says it's true, that you and the Jews are plotting to revolt, and therefore you are building the wall. Moreover, according to these reports, you are about to become their king. And even have appointed prophets to make this proclamation about you in Jerusalem. There is a king in Judah. Now, this report will get back to the king. So, come, let's meet together. So when the distraction doesn't work, the enemies turn to threats. And these are some very real fears. The threats going against Nehemiah aren't empty. If we look back into Ezra, the reason the rebuilding effort has stopped in the past is because of fear of the Jewish people gathering together and revolting against the empire in control, which they have a history of doing as well. So this is a pretty good threat. It's well thought through. So what will Nehemiah do with this? Will he respond in fear or will he respond in faith? So he says he sent this reply. Nothing like what you said is happening. You're just making it up out of your own head. I look forward to someone here using that in a sentence later this week to someone. They were trying to frighten us, thinking their hands will get too weak for the work and it will not be completed. But I prayed, now strengthen my hands. So Nehemiah responds in faithfulness and in prayer, looking for strength, not knowing that he must be getting near the end because the enemies here are starting to get desperate, sending that letter over and over and over again. And then we have this other interesting character come in with this little side story from Shemaiah the priest. And it's this confusing bit because Shemaiah, we're not really sure why he's confined to a house, but for whatever reason, he's confined somewhere. He's someone that Nehemiah respects enough to go and meet. If you look through the previous chapters when they're naming all the people, Shemaiah and some of his family will have helped rebuild the wall. But he is working for someone else. He's trying to trick Nehemiah into going and doing a thing he's not supposed to do. Going to a part of the temple that only priests are meant to go to because that's the only place they can hide. These people are trying to kill him, which Nehemiah knows. This is a real threat. And then Nehemiah kind of has this response, well, why should I go hide? And then he has this realization. I realized that God had not sent him, but that he had prophesied against me because Tobiah and Sanballat had hired him. He'd hired him to intimidate me so that I would commit sin by doing this, and they would give me a bad name to discredit me. And then we see this kind of happen a little bit further on. There's someone named Noadiah, this prophetess, almost this chief prophet. She's in charge of the prophets, it seems like. And she has been working against Nehemiah as well, trying to intimidate him with all the other prophets. These are the religious leaders. These are the people who are supposed to be on his side. And they are working actively against him and against this project. Why? Because even though they hold the title of prophet, their hearts do not belong to the one they claim to prophesy for. They are false prophets. They're giving out these proclamations based on what they want and maybe what's getting them paid, not about what God is revealing to them. But Nehemiah continues. And I love this sentence. It just kind of sits in there. So the wall was completed on the 25th day of Elul in 52 days. This whole project takes 52 days. So much has gone on in that time, and he's worked this through. When all our enemies heard about this and all the surrounding nations, they were afraid and lost their self-confidence because they realized that this work had been done with the help of our God. Fear of the Lord, especially in the Old Testament, is sometimes hard to translate over. It's not this just trembling fear. It's this awe. They are awed that this God has accomplished this thing in spite of all of these troubles. They are in awe that God has worked through it because people just couldn't do it on their own. It leads them to a place of respect, of wonder for the God of Israel. And just as it seems like everything's gone well and the wall has been rebuilt, everyone is in awe of God. It says also in those days, the nobles of Judah, the wealthy, the leaders, those who have everything, were sending many letters to Tobiah, and replies from Tobiah kept coming to them. For many in Judah were under oath to him, since he had many family connections. Moreover, they kept reporting to me his good deeds and then telling him what I said. And Tobiah sent letters to intimidate me. Even as Nehemiah seemingly has faithfully finished this project, there are more challenges that keep coming in. Even from the community that was supposed to be doing this with him. Now that the leaders see that the wall is built, do we even need Nehemiah anymore? We know Nehemiah doesn't tax the people as much as the others. That probably means he's not spreading the wealth around to the upper class as much as the others would have. These people are all working for someone else who has treated them very well financially in the past, who they have family connections with. And so the stress continues. Even as the wall is built, there are more challenges that face Nehemiah. See, the trouble for us is very similar. We can be hit, just like Nehemiah, with distractions. There's always something else coming up that can distract us from doing those things God calls us to do, especially as a community. There's always more to talk about. And truthfully, it's easier to talk about things than to do things. And that's why it can be so distracting to continue to talk about stuff instead of to go and to move forward prayerfully for what God has called us to. Just like Nehemiah, fear can influence our decisions. And when fear influences our decisions, we start to wonder not what good things could be done, but what about all the bad that could happen? We start to only see the bad, and our minds get stuck in this negative spiral of all that could go wrong. And we start to get drawn back, and well, that could be so bad. You know, if things just stay the same, I know what that's like. That's comfortable. But, oh, there's so many different problems that could happen if we try that. And then we have the problem of false prophets, of people who are claiming to speak for God who are not, of a community. What we believe, especially as an Anabaptist community, is that each of you acts as a priest in some ways. Each of you are pastors to people in your own life. We believe in a flatter leadership structure. So we believe we should be able to pray together and discern together what God is calling us to. But when we do that, if someone stands up and has a loud voice, but they haven't been praying, they haven't been giving themselves over, then they can start to misdirect us. And you know what? We see that all over TV. I always say, if someone is on TV or on the radio, you can probably discount everything they have to say about the Bible and about God, because they tend to be pretty wealthy getting there. And if you're actually following Jesus, you're not going to get wealthy doing it. Follow someone only as far as their fancy private jet takes them with the money we give them, right? That's not what it's supposed to be, but that's what's happened right from the beginning. It's sin in our world. It's selfishness. It's our ways of seeing and wanting what's for us and then distorting it in such a way that we start to think that that's what God wants for others. Very quickly, our God can start to look exactly like our preferences. A God who loves the same people we love, hates the same people we hate. Very quickly, God looks a lot like me if we're not careful. And then even as this project is finished, in a time that should have been maybe celebrated, we see continued challenges. Even when we do those right things, even when we do the good things, there's always something it feels like that can kind of knock us out, have us sinking back. Even as we trust that there will be God there to catch us, there can still be additional disappointments and troubles. And sometimes that comes from our own communities. Sometimes that comes from people who call themselves Christians. There are so many times where we see people with a mouth full of Bible verses but a heart full of hatred. Quick to go and to proclaim a biblical truth to someone while that person is drowning, instead of reaching out and showing them the love of Jesus in their actions. But I see a lot of hope in this passage as well. Because even with all those distractions, we see Nehemiah focused. We see that we can be focused on that end goal, and that focus, as we keep our eyes on the cross of Jesus, as we keep Jesus directly in front of us and we follow his way, we will end up more often than not in the right place. We will end up more often than not going the right way by always looking and trying to see where Jesus is calling us to, keeping our focus on the right things. And as we go and we move out of fear and move instead to trust, to have faith, to believe that ours is a God who calls us out upon the waters, even in stormy times, that just because it's never been done before, that doesn't mean it's impossible for Jesus. That we can trust that the love of God will push us through those fears and uncertainties to go and to do something new, to do something difficult, to do something that God calls us to do. And how do we counter the false prophets? We counter it by knowing God's truth. How do we know what's true? We spend time reading the Bible. We spend time praying. We spend time practicing in our lives what it means to follow Jesus. When you know what is true, you are not going to be deceived by that which is false. When they have people who are trying to discern if there's a counterfeit bill, and maybe this doesn't happen in Canada now that we have these fancy plastic bills, but imagine we're in America where all of their bills are green and paper. But if you want to be able to tell what a counterfeit is like, you don't look at other counterfeits. You don't study counterfeits. You study the true thing. When you spend your time studying what a true bit of money looks like, then you start to intuitively find what's wrong in the counterfeit. And the same goes in our lives. When we study that which is true, when we hold to the true way of Jesus, we will start to be more discerning when something doesn't quite feel right. Ooh, that doesn't quite look like Jesus. The Spirit will move, oh, that doesn't quite feel like how Jesus would love. And in that way, that's why we use the Bible, we read the Bible to help us better follow Jesus. We're not Bible followers, right? We're Jesus followers. That's what the Bible helps us with. So what will this mean for us today? Well, what is faithfulness? Faithfulness comes from knowing. From knowing who Jesus is, who the one we're trying to be faithful to is. Faithfulness will come from being known by the one who is faithful. As we know Jesus, as Jesus knows us, we start to become more and more comfortable in just living out the faithful love of Jesus. We become faithful then in how we follow Jesus. We are only Christians in so much as we are following the Christ. That's what Christian means. We are only followers of Jesus in so much as we are endeavoring to follow him, however imperfectly as a community, yet we strive to do that together. And in that way, as we follow Jesus, we start to grow. We start to grow healthily. Healthy things grow. Healthy churches grow. Healthy people will grow in our faith. Will grow in our love for our neighbors. So what might it look for me to be faithful? Well, let's acknowledge first that Nehemiah had a wall to build and he built it. And for us, we don't have a wall to build. What does it mean when there's no exact end in sight? As we talked about one of our brothers today who is nearing the end of his life, what does it mean for us to be able to get to those points all along the way that we're faithfully following all the way to the end? Well, I think it's hard because it is a lifetime journey. One of my friends described faith. He's a pastor in Nebraska. He said, being a Christian is about edging slightly closer, just taking a little step closer day by day to the foot of the cross of Jesus. It's a lifetime journey. Two steps forward, one steps back. It's a lifetime journey of experiencing the Holy Spirit fill us and change us from within, enabling us to live out those good things. What the Bible will call the fruit of the Spirit. Not just that we get to pick one or two, but that these are the things that should spill out of our lives. These are the things that should grow out of our lives if we are following Jesus, if the Holy Spirit is involved in our hearts. Of love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. Where those are lacking in us, where those are lacking in supposed Christian leaders, we can know that we should take that in prayer. We should know that that is where we are lacking in our spiritual development. Keeping our eyes on Jesus. We might not always get it right. And we won't. But when we keep our eyes on Jesus, when we err on the side of trying to love like Jesus loves, we will more often than not find ourselves at a place of faithfulness. What Jesus calls the salt of the land. The people preserving and giving flavor. What Jesus calls being the light of the world, that light that shines in the darkness. There's these terms sometimes where we're trying to figure out what they mean. I like these terms, and maybe you've heard them. When people talk about orthodoxy, that means believing or knowing the right things. And then sometimes they talk about orthopraxy. That just means doing the right things, acting rightly. And what do we do with knowing or acting? Where is God in the middle of that? Well, it's really neither of those things, but it's also both of those things. See, a faithful life will mean having the right heart. Orthocardia. That the Holy Spirit and Jesus has changed us so much that from the inside, we start to not just know the right things, but we know them in such a way that we act on them naturally. Having a right heart is what guides Nehemiah to finish things faithfully. To be able to discern, even in the midst of all of these fears, these distractions, these false prophets, these continued troubles, how to take that next step of faith and do the right things. And for us, it's the same thing. As we love others, as we receive the love of God, It starts to give us the right heart. That's how we are changed. We are not changed people. We are not followers of Jesus because we are so smart and we read the Bible and we know all of the right things. We are followers of Jesus because we have experienced the life-changing love of Jesus, that the power of the Holy Spirit has come inside of us and changed us so much that each person we meet is blessed by that love. This is faithful living, what we prayed. Your kingdom come, your will be done, here on earth, here in this place. That in this way, we get to participate with God. We get to be partners with God in bringing about his goodness and his love right here in our neighborhoods. And sometimes that will look different than what we think it should look like. Sometimes that will mean more dirty feet than we would prefer. But as it says in Nehemiah, may our hope be this. May we see that this work has been done with the help of our God. The people around the community rebuilding the walls got to see a picture of God through the faithfulness of the people and through what God did through them. That is our hope with us as well. That for us to finish faithfully, to follow faithfully, will mean embodying Jesus' love so much that it spills over to our neighbors and our neighbors will notice something different about how they are loved by us. Let's pray. Father, we thank you that you are good. We thank you, Lord, that you do not send us out on our own, but that wherever we go, there you are. May each person here experience your loving presence in real ways, and may you move us forward in faithfulness in how we love others. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.
You can turn to your hymnal, number 89, if you'd like, and we're singing together, "The Lord is King, we praise his name." Let us stand if we're able.
Receive the blessing. May the Lord bless you and keep you. May the Lord guide you in faithfulness, love, and joy. Go in God's peace. Amen.